Good morning, and welcome to the Tuesday edition of the KRFY Morning Show. This is your morning show host, Julie Calamine, and today we're going to be joined by some very cool organizers of fun biking events this summer, Charles Mortensen and Sammy Berryman. Hello, just say good morning now, guys, and we'll reintroduce you in a moment.
Good morning. Good
morning. Morning. All right, before we jump into this, what should be a very interesting interview, I'm going to run off a quick weather report, and guess what? It's finally looking good. Today, we can expect a high of 68 degrees and sunny tonight, low in the high 30s. Wednesday, just a little bit of a chance of precip, but still a high of 61 Wednesday night, a little below freezing, so we're still above and below the freezing mark, but it's getting warmer every day. Thursday's full sun, and Friday looks the same, all in those middle 50s and roughly 30s in the morning. If we were maple tree people, we'd be tapping those maple trees, wouldn't we? I guess we're not all that, though, here. We're mostly coniferous tree people. Well, anyway, let's jump on in, guys, because this is a topic and we've got lots to talk about. I'm going to reintroduce you. Our topic this morning is a series of bicycle events and races, the first one being the three-quarter minus, is it cycle tour or cycle?
Cycle tour, yeah.
Cycle tour. Thank you, Charles. And our guests today are Charles Mortensen and Sammy Berryman. You are the co-organizers of these events. So I'd like to start by asking you each to tell us just a bit about yourselves and how you got involved in this area of biking.
Yep, I'm Sammy Berryman. I got involved in gravel specifically the first year that Monarch Grind started, which was 2 years ago, and that was put on by Charles. It was just his wacky idea to make us suffer over the Monarch Ranges out near Clark Fork. I jumped straight into that race with my dad with little to no training and loved it and hated it in equal parts. So yeah, I stuck around. I went into the shop like a month later and I said, hey, we need to get more women out here. Let me help you grow this event. So here I am. I now work at the shop as well.
How nice. And then, Charles, you're going to need to mention that you are the owner of Syringa Cyclery and that Sammy works with you. Of course, I've just said it, but I'll have you say it again.
You are correct.
Yes. Good enough.
So you've been there a couple years now.
Yeah.
And Sammy kind of runs the front of the shop while all us grunts are in the back working on bikes and doing other silly things. The series that Sammy's talking about, the Monarch Grind, is part of our gravel series, which is called the Idaho Panhandle Gravel Series. The first race is coming up in May, on May 3rd, first Saturday in May, and it's the three-quarter minus Cycl Tour.
Yes, that's the first of three. We're going to talk in depth about all three of these, but because you all are very avid bikers, but maybe not every listener is. Let's back up just a bit and talk about biking in general, and then we're going to come back to the event. It's important to know it's the third. And actually, why don't you mention the deadline date for sign up?
There is no deadline, actually. People can sign up even on the day of the event, half an hour before the start.
Okay.
We encourage people to sign up before that, just so we can coordinate food and beverages and the after party. So we kind of jacked the price up for the last week of registration with that in mind. But people can sign up until that day.
That very day. Yeah. Yes, because it is more work if you're having folks sign up shortly before.
Right.
Yes,
yeah,
very
we
much.
Have a, so our after party is at Matchwood, they need to know roughly how many people are going to be there so they can plan for food, basically.
Yes. Sammy.
Oh, well, I was just saying, you're right. We did skip over why Charles got into cycling.
You're so
right. I feel like the public needs to know this.
Charles, we're backing up even further. You'll have to explain.
I mean, I think like most of us, we've probably been cycling all our lives, right? I mean, most of us maybe, but I've always been kind of an avid cyclist. I started doing some mountain bike racing in my 40s in the early 2000s and started the shop in 2014, Syringa Cyclery, and got into organizing events when I right around that same, well, a little before I started the shop, we organized the local cyclocross race here in Sandpoint that went on for quite a few years at the U of I property. And since then, I organized the three-quarter minus starting in 2019, and then we expanded it to the series, and we have three events in that series now. But yeah, so I've been cycling, you know, doing some mostly mountain bike racing, but some cyclocross racing and a little bit of road racing.
All right.
And gravel racing.
But your passion sounds like it's mountain biking and gravel, getting going uphill, basically, a lot.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Yes. All right. Yeah. And then the downhill part is fun, too, I would guess.
Yeah, it's fun. I like climbing, though.
Yes. Climbing is hard, and then going down is scary, I think.
Climbing is really hard with Sammy, because she...
No.
She
He drops me every
pushes.
Time.
I don't know about that.
Well, it sounds hard to me. Well, you know, we're going to... Of course, we're talking about... gravel biking, and that's going to be the main focus. But there are so many ways you can bike in Sandpoint. And here I'm going to list off a few and you guys can add in. But road biking, mountain biking, trail biking. I don't know if there's BMX in town. People do that here?
Probably. I mean, yeah. I imagine there's always people at the skate park. We've got a couple.
There's the pump track out in Pondere, yeah. Which... You know, that's kind of a BMX sort of thing, I guess.
Which is pretty cool, actually, learning on a pump track.
Yeah. And then there's also the Traverse Park.
We've got Traverse, the kit, the Little Woods, that's at Traverse Park.
Right.
There's a lot of spots, yeah.
And then so many kinds of bikes, hybrids, fat bikes, gravel bikes, e-bikes, and I suppose they're BMX bikes. I suppose there are more than that. So I suppose we could say there's a type of biking for anybody at any level.
I'd say so.
Oh, jinx.
That's right. Well, all right. So since you both are pretty advanced and experienced bikers, what would you say to someone who's thinking about maybe doing a little more than just riding around town? What's a good way to get going?
Well, if it's mountain biking, Pine Street Woods is a really good place to start. There's a lot of trails for all sorts of abilities, easy trails, hard trails, downhill trails, uphill trails.
Yeah.
The trails are relatively smooth, so if you're just getting into it, that's a good place to learn. And there's, you know, if it's just road riding, you know, lots of gravel roads around here.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I guess it's maybe obvious to us, but maybe not others who are entering gravel. It's not gravel the entire time that you're riding. Oftentimes you're on a lot of mixed surfaces. You head out from your driveway on the road, you know, for a couple miles, and then maybe you hit a section of gravel. So
it's mixed.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're not just on gravel all the time. Do people, for example, in other sports, you really maybe could use an instructor to help you get going. For this type of event, this type of biking that you do, do you need someone to kind of help get it figured out, or do you just jump on your bike and figure it out?
It's both, I think. I think you could just take a bike that you have lying in your garage and get out and ride it and just see how comfortable you feel on each surface. But also, we get a lot of people coming into the shop asking us questions about what size tires to use. And we get a lot of just fit questions. Should I shorten my stem to make my reach a bit more comfortable? Things like that. So it's a mixed bag.
Right. Maybe
how to
less
set up
about
your bike type. Not so much how to ride a bike, but how to make it
most comfortable and do your best, have your best performance.
Saddles are a big thing right now. Yeah. People are fitting their saddles just to make even that bit more comfortable. So
right. And the skinny little saddles that competitive people use, are they comfortable, or do you just have to get used to them?
Yes, they're, I mean, as comfortable as you can, you know, if you're on a bike for a long time, I don't think it really matters what saddle you have. You're eventually going to be kind of sore.
I suppose.
Yeah.
A lot of people make the mistake of getting the really cushy saddles, thinking that they're going to be more comfortable. But on a longer ride, especially, it's not as good.
No.
Yeah, more friction. You need,
that saddle's kind of getting in the way of your...
Yeah, it's getting in the way. It's pedaling. Maybe too wide, and the cush actually is too much. You need something a little firmer.
Well, I will take that under advisement then. All righty. And let's see. I think we've talked a bit about all the opportunities for bikers, and we're now going to talk about the event. And this event probably isn't just for the beginner bicycler, right? These are for people that have biked a little bit.
Not necessarily. I mean, the three-quarter minus of the three that we do is probably the most accessible to all sorts of riders, I would say. It's, you know, relatively, it's mostly, the routes are mostly in the Selly Valley, which is relatively flat, although there are some good climbs on both the one humper and the two humper.
Yeah. Okay. So it's not, it can be for just about anyone if they do a little training. Well, let's jump in and talk about it. Yeah. And since it is the first event, of course, we'll start with it. Cycle Tour, Saturday, May 3rd. Tell us everything about it.
Yep. So this is the first race of our Panhandle Gravel Series. And like Charles mentioned earlier, you could literally come and sign up the day of, which a lot of people often do wait till the night before a day of, just because spring weather can be a bit finicky. I believe last year we had like 135 or so people come.
Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we can do better than that this year. But the course itself, Charles and I just did some recon of the one humper over the weekend with a small group of people. And is it Upper Gold Creek?
Upper Gold Creek.
Yep. Yeah. That we weren't sure about. Just there tends to be some snow left over there. But we had quite a wacky winter, and most of that snow is gone. There's only a little bit of snow off on the shoulder, so you're not going to be riding through that. It was a little bit muddy, so we were thankful for the tires that we had on our bike. And that is on the one humper course. So,
okay, let's describe what is a one humper and what is
a good question.
What is it in comparison to?
So, when we the first year we did this, Jason Meshberg, who I think you might know, Julie, he and I were reconning the routes and planning the race. And Jason's the one that came up with those names, the one humper and the two humper. So the one humper has one big climb, one main big climb, and the two humper has two big climbs and is longer.
Yeah, so that mileage difference there.
Yeah, so the humps are the hills that we go over.
Yeah. Okay. There's no camels along the way then. We won't be seeing any.
No, that'd be quite cool though.
Yeah, it would.
The one humper though has 2,500 feet of elevation gain over 53 miles. And the two humper is 75 miles with 4,700 feet of elevation gain.
Yeah.
So.
All right. So I'm assuming you need a bike that's got quite a few gears if you're going to be comfortable doing that.
That's fair to say.
Yeah. Do you want to talk just a minute about that and we'll continue?
Yeah. So, on the one humper route, you could actually ride that route on a regular road bike. You might want some tires with traction on them and maybe a little bit wider than a typical road bike would have. But the track is pretty smooth, relatively speaking. So people can ride any bike that they want. Ideally, you know, you want a gravel bike that can go on rough gravel and you know, isn't going to flat out like a road bike, but the one humper route is relatively smooth. The two humper has some pretty rough, chunky gravel, so you definitely want a gravel bike at least. Some people ride mountain bikes, but a gravel bike is really probably the best.
A gravel bike with a good set of tires.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And gravel bikes are essentially road bikes. The geometry of the frame is a little bit different. But they're essentially road bikes with wider, chunky tires.
Okay. So you could be a person that's just, you know, tootling around town on your road bike and you decide you're going to make a commitment and enter this race, and you just have to basically get yourself a better set of tires and you're ready for the two humper if you want to do it, and maybe don't need anything for the one humper.
Pretty much.
Yeah. And we've even made it a bit more accessible this year by adding segments to the route. So, you know, it's early season. A lot of people are doing other things throughout the winter. So Charles actually did a race down in Central California last year with John Hansen, and they really enjoyed the layout of that. So instead of timing the overall event, there's going to be two segments that will be timed on the one humper, which is really cool. So basically what that means is you start the event and you can just putz around with your friends heading out to the start of the first segment. And all you're doing is racing those two segments. And then at the end of the race, you have to finish the race still. But at the end of the race, you add the two times of those segments together, and that will be your overall placing.
Oh, nice.
So we think that's a fun little twist that makes it a bit more social. Hopefully it encourages more people to get their friends out with them.
Yes. Yeah. So,
and yeah, one of the things we do, this is, of the three races, this is the most social, casual of the three. The other two are kind of racy.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's a lot of different people out there riding. So we have four aid stations, and we have, and people vote for the best aid station at the end of the ride. So everybody, whoever is managing the aid stations, and KRFY is managing one of them this year with Chris Beer. They kind of design their aid stations, and they bring whatever food they want, and then, and the way, you know, this format that we're doing this year, we designed it so that all the aid stations are visited by both routes, everyone on both routes, and they're not in sections that we're timing, so you have plenty of time to stop and hang out at the aid stations.
Oh, I like that. Yes, yeah. And thank you for mentioning that KRFY is a sponsor. There are quite a few other sponsors, but we're not only being a sponsor, but also manning an aid station.
Right.
We do that for the CHAFE also, and it's I've volunteered for those events, and they're really as much fun as you can imagine for a volunteer, and we don't have to do the work of the bike ride.
Right.
Get to see everybody. Oh, yeah. But last year it was during a hailstorm at the CHAFE, so hopefully your weather will be a decent day. That makes a big difference.
It sure does. Yeah.
Yes, it does. So, and we appreciate the opportunity to sponsor and work with you on these races, because it really is fun for our volunteers. It's fun to see folks.
I would also mention that KRFY is also a beneficiary of the whole series. So we split the proceeds with KRFY and POP, Pondere Peddlers, for each of the three events.
Yeah, and thank you for that. We're all nonprofits around here, and we can't tell you how much we appreciate that you're willing to share the proceeds with our little station.
Our pleasure.
Thank you very much. All right, so let's talk a little bit more about the event that day. We know we've got aid stations, and what does happen if it's a terrible day? Do you just have a different type of turnout?
You know, when the weather is bad, and we've had a couple of years where it's been pretty bad, cold and windy and rainy, and we've had a couple of years where it's like today, beautiful, sunny day. a lot of people wait till the last minute to see the weather before they sign up. But then, so we, even on the bad days, some people who have signed up sometimes drop out even though they've already signed up. But we always have a good turnout. It's always been 85 to 135 people or so, regardless of the weather.
Okay.
So we don't, unless it's, you know, like inclement weather, you know, dangerous lightning storms. We, you know, in a situation like that, we might cancel. But the one issue with the two humper is that we have snow, and there's still quite a bit of snow up on that route right now. We're only 2.5 weeks out, and so that's the perennial
question.
Nervousness.
Yes.
Are we going to be able to do it? And one year we actually still had snow on the route, and people had to walk their bikes for a half mile across the snow up on top.
Yeah, but I can imagine you wouldn't want to be slipping around in the snow.
Yeah, I would just say make sure you come prepared if you're doing the two humper. You know, have your multi-tool, have all your tire plugs, have your extra layer just in case, like check the weather and just be prepared for something that might happen while you're up there. Make sure you've got enough nutrition. There are aid stations, as we've said, but you also should be carrying your own nutrition just to get you through the event, enough water, all of those things, you know.
Right.
Like, go in optimistically cautious.
Yes. Yeah. As we would say if we are going hiking in the mountains or any other activity in those areas, you got to take care of yourself. Yeah, very good.
It's essentially self-supported. We do have vehicles, suite vehicles following the riders, and there's, you know, the opportunity to get assistance. But for the most part, it is self-assisted, so you should come prepared with everything you need.
But for example, if someone really just couldn't finish, you'd have someone who could help them. Yeah. Well, that's good to know. Well, considering this race, and you just told me that just about anyone who's got a bike could at least do the one humper, I'm going to pose a question to you two. First of all, I'm going to ask if you think that I could accomplish it if I started training, but then I want you to guess how many miles I've done on a bike, like my maximum number of miles. Just take a look at me and guess. Go ahead, Sammy.
Yes, I absolutely think that you could accomplish doing either one humper or two humper. I think you've done a century. I think you've done 100.
I've done 100? Okay, yeah. What do you think, Charles?
I think you've done 35 miles.
Those are both great guesses, but I'm going to have to inform you that my maximum bike ride I've done to date, and I'm 61, is 14 miles. So you might now be a little worried about me.
No.
I have to do some serious
training. We got to get you out there.
Yeah, we do got to get you out there.
So I think it is time that if I'm going to get serious about biking, I better try and get beyond that 14-mile mark. It's getting a little late.
You can come ride with us on Sundays. We'll get you ready.
Oh, I'm a little scared about
that. I'll stay with you.
I have a basket that I put my dog in, so that should give you some idea of biker I am. All right. Well, I think we've, for the most part, covered the first event. But could you just repeat for me the date again, cost, if you haven't mentioned it yet, sign-up details, and maybe anything else that should be known?
The date of the event is May 3rd, which is the first Saturday in May. Starts at 9 o'clock, I think is the start. And we have registration until 8:30 that morning. The cost is $125.
Yeah, currently.
Yes, until the last week, and then it jumps up to $150. We have nice swag bags for participants with goodies, a free meal and drinks at Matchwood afterwards. There's going to be a live band, and we'll have an award ceremony and raffle prizes and all sorts of things like that.
A party.
Should be fun.
All right. That's brought a question, another question for me before we go to song break. This is this race, it's a race or an event, however you want to do it. Is it part of a larger group of races where people are keeping track of how they do throughout the year and all over the place?
No, not beyond our own series. Within our series, it's people get points depending on how they finish. And then at the end of it, the overall winners of the series are crowned the champions.
Oh, nice. Yeah. So it's a kind of a local...
Although we do draw from a pretty wide region, especially the three-quarter minus. We have Montana, Washington, British Columbia, sometimes Colorado and California, people, southern Idaho.
Sure.
So it's kind of a regional event more. You know, I would say probably we have the most participants are probably from Spokane and Coeur d'Alene. Quite a few from Missoula, Whitefish. And there's a group of gravel riders up in Cranbrook that always come down for it.
Yeah, very nice. So if they want to become a legend among gravel riders, they'll be a regional legend. Folks will know them.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. All right. Well, that sounds great. Okay. Well, I think we're going to go ahead and go to a song break, and then we're going to come back and talk about the events coming later in the summer. For those of you just joining us, this is KRFY Community Radio for the Idaho Panhandle. This is the Tuesday Morning Show. I'm Julie Calamine, and this morning I'm joined by Charles Mortensen and Sammy Berryman. They're co-organizers of a trio of upcoming... And that was Engelbert Humperdinck with, it's French, Les Bicyclettes de Belize. Does anyone know what that means? I don't think
Bicycles
so.
Bicycles of Belize.
I would guess so. All right. If you're just joining us, this is KRFY Community Radio for the Idaho Panhandle. And those who are already listening know that I'm here this morning with Charles Mortensen and Sammy Berryman. They're co-organizers of a trio of bike races, kind of hard bike races this summer. But since we've been on song break, we've gotten a new presence. We've added a presence in the studio, and it is the one and only Susie Prez. Hi, Susie.
Good morning, Julie and Charles and Sammy. It's really nice to be here with you.
And it's important to have you this morning because you've actually participated in the hydration station for one of the rides, and so we'll want to hear about that from you at some point. But for the moment, I'm going to ask us to redirect and start explaining the other two races that are happening this summer. Sammy, Charles, who would like to take on the second one?
Oh, I'll take on the second one. So the Monarch Grind, we started that 2 years. This will be the third year for the Monarch Grind. And it takes place in Clark Fork, starts in Clark Fork, goes up Johnson Creek, up to the saddle and around Pack Saddle Mountain behind the Monarch mountains there. 70 miles?
70 miles, yep.
A ton 80. Of climbing, really rough roads. It's not for the faint of heart.
Yeah.
This one you wouldn't recommend for me as my first gravel grind.
Probably not, but you could probably do it next year.
Okay. You know what, though? It was my first.
Oh, yeah, it was.
It was Sammy's first. But,
because I like to jump in the deep end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sammy's a strong rider.
Iron Man got me there, I guess. But it has 8,200 feet of climbing.
Yeah.
And a lot of carnage happened the first year.
Yeah.
I think my dad lost his whole pedal. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
He lost his pedal and
mechanical
had
issues.
one leg cycle back to the finish. But I mean, obviously that course was so beautiful that it brought me into the shop, and then it made me want to help Charles out with this series. So,
and Susie might just want to jump in here because she was just going on about how beautiful it was.
Well, I was surprised because we drove way up into the Monarchs, mm-hmm. and or is it the Cabinets?
Monarchs.
Okay,
and it's the Coeur d'Alene Mountains, I guess.
And we're up there waiting for the riders to show up, and they come in, and they're just so enthusiastic and happy and excited. And the really cool thing is that anyone can be at any spot. There was the people that we're going to win this race. And then there's those that we're going to do this together. I think there was a father and a son. And so it's a spectrum of competition and just the joy of cycling up in the mountains. It was really fun. And it was beautiful. And I got to spend, 7 hours, maybe 5 hours up in the wilderness.
Wow.
Which isn't something I normally do. So I was very grateful for that, mm-hmm. and really fun to be part of that.
And exciting. With snacks.
And with snacks.
Yeah. That's pretty good.
A lot of snack, a popular one is pickle juice. You've probably talked about that already.
Yeah. No, we have not.
We haven't.
It shocks me every time I take a shot of pickle juice. I kind of, ugh.
It hydrates you, probably.
It helps your muscles.
Oh.
Yeah. It helps from cramping specifically. So that's why people take pickle juice shots.
So
but yeah.
Susie's aid station, we put that right at the Johnson Saddle behind the Monarchs, which is where the loop for the ride starts. It's kind of a lollipop route. So the riders visit the aid station twice. It's the only aid station we have on the course. So she gets to see all these happy riders.
Well, one of the things that impressed me was some of the lead riders, the first ones, they didn't even look at us. They were like, just as fast as you could imagine, because it was downhill at that point. And then others were like limping in and going and stopping and kind of laying down on the ground and resting.
You're so right.
And we're not going to be first in, so we're going to enjoy this and take care of ourselves. So it was really fun.
Yeah.
Yes, the full range. Very nice. Well, is there more we can talk about? Well, the dates, of course, and maybe entry fees and any other highlights of that race. Elevation, maybe.
Yes. This one is the big kahuna for elevation, I'd say. We're 8,000 plus feet of climbing, which is pretty insane. But it is long mileage, so it's 70 miles. And we are starting from Clark Fork High School this year. And then we have a finishing party at the Squeeze Inn, which will be really cool. It's just that quaint little restaurant that looks like someone's charming house in Clark Fork.
Boy, you will, if you get very many entrants, you will be squeezing in. It's tiny.
Honestly, yeah, that's a good point.
It'll be capped. Outdoors.
Okay.
Yeah, we are capped. Our Forest Service permit only allows us to have 90 riders on this one. So.
Yeah.
And Janet at the Squeeze Inn says she's had 100 people there before for weddings and such. So.
Legend.
Spilling out into the road, I would guess.
It will be really fun because people driving by will say, what's going on over there? All these people dressed in biking gear. And the after party is always really fun.
Yeah. And the price, the entry for all three races currently is $125 per race. But if you do sign up for all three races, you'll get a 15% discount. So basically, that's just encouraging people to sign up for the entire series. But if you're just only wanting to do the Monarch Grind, it's $125. And you can sign up. We have a website this year, panhandlegravel.com. And we have all of the information on that. So,
all right. Yeah. It sounds like that's the one that may be next summer for some of us.
Yeah.
If we
I love that.
Wanted that.
All right. And your dog in the basket.
And my little dog in the basket. He would enjoy that, I think.
And really going at any speed that you want or any pace that you want is fine. I think some people came in 5 hours after the lead rider, maybe.
Probably.
It was kind of, and we were sort of wondering about them at that point.
Right.
But they made it.
You know, on a ride, sorry to interrupt, Susie, but on a ride like that, do some people end up walking their bikes for a while? Is it that steep or not?
Every time.
Okay.
Yeah.
I walk my bike every single time.
Yeah, that ride, there's two huge climbs on the Monarch Grind, and the second one is really rough and loose. So when you get to the steep sections, it can be a challenge to make it up.
Yeah, I'd say that's the hard part about the second climb specifically is just how loose those pebbles are. Like, they're huge. You can knock them out. They kind of direct what direction you're wheel is going as you're climbing up this. What percentage is that grade? It's intense.
Yeah, I'm not sure what it
make
is.
Make it sound hard because I walk every time. Maybe. Thank you. Perfect. Yeah.
Is that the Johnson? So after that first stop at the aid station, it's kind of after that?
Yeah, you go all the way down to practically the lake level from where you guys are, and then you climb back up around the backside of Packsaddle Mountain.
Wow.
It's like a 12-mile climb, I think.
But the views are stunning. Honestly, that's kind of what keeps you in it. I personally wouldn't be out in that area unless I was comfortable knowing that I had SAG support with other people around me. I like the wilderness, but I also want to know that I'm relatively safe.
Yeah, it feels pretty remote. Susie probably has something to say about that. Wildlife.
And by safe, you're talking about bears. Or wildlife.
Super safe from bears, right?
Yeah. Well, I remember some people coming in.
And the locals.
There were some locals on four-wheelers.
That's true.
They were trying to get to somewhere else, like Coeur d'Alene. And, is this the way to Coeur d'Alene? Or that little town that's halfway across the lake. But most people had bear spray on their handlebars.
Yeah, it's so... I don't think we've ever had any encounters during our events, but yeah, carrying bear spray wouldn't be a silly thing to do on any of the three rides that we do in this series.
Yeah, that's just called being smart.
Yeah.
Right, along with being ready for weather and all the other things we've talked about.
Right.
Now, you know, we've mentioned in the first race it can be a one humper or a two humper, and you've mentioned this one has sort of a figure eight path. Can it become a one-humper for a person, or
there's designed just that way? One route on the Monarch Grind.
Okay.
Yeah, and also the third one,
Meters
Traverse.
All right.
Yeah.
By the time you hit the first aid station on the Monarch Grind, you kind of pretty much know, because it's pretty much uphill to that point, even. That's the first hill or elevation climb. And there was one fella that, you know, sat down and was really debating whether he was going to stay in or not. And he kind of caught his wind and took a little break and kept going.
Nice. We do, on the Monarch Grind, we do have a cutoff time. Hmm. If you don't get to the aid station the first time, by a certain time, we send you back home, back to the start, just because...
It's a safety precaution as well for everyone.
Precaution.
Time management.
And you had a somebody at the back end following in case someone, you know... That's your first aid.
We have motorcycle support and also a truck or two that follow the riders with.
So that's great. Yeah. That would, I think, comfort a person if they weren't sure how it would all go.
Yeah. It's a pretty generous cutoff time. I mean, you know, it's you'd have to. Yeah. If you don't make the cutoff time, then you probably should not be going all the way around.
Yeah.
So it's yeah.
super safe, super fun. Everyone I saw. Even though some of them were struggling or feeling like this is a big challenge, had smiles on their face. Because it's fun to be riding your bike. Obviously, there are people that love to ride and the challenge. But what kind of people come to, what's the range of area that people come from for these kind of rides?
They come from all around our region, British Columbia, Montana, Washington, Idaho.
Susie,
so, we talked a little bit about that earlier.
Yes, we have.
I thought you were about to mention the tandem cyclists that did it last year.
What? Tell us about
the father-son duo.
Oh, my goodness.
They're incredible. Absolutely incredible. They did it on a tandem bike. Andy and Keon.
Yeah, I think that's
right. So sorry if I said your son's name wrong.
That seems very unusual.
It was absolutely insane, and they came in the week of to the shop trying to sort their bike. Do you remember that? They were looking for tires. They were looking for, everything.
They seemed so unprepared to me, and I was kind of worried that they were going to be doing it, actually. And
yeah.
I was like, oh, man.
Should we let them enter? Because we hadn't discussed, is a tandem bike allowed? But they were so keen.
Yeah.
They
rode all the way around.
The whole way. They made it without stopping, too. I mean, that was kind of like a blow to my confidence, but also I was so stoked for them because I walk every single time at least for 10 minutes.
And they just kept going.
Yeah.
Well, two people. I mean, I suppose one can be tired and the other can keep going for a while.
It was insane. Yeah. And I guess, do you remember Andy, every single time he needed more help with his son on the back, he would say, "Juice, give me more juice."
Cute.
Which is so cute.
All right. Well, that's a nice way to end our conversation about what sounds like a very challenging, but I would think, you know, very amazing ride if you're able to do it. And so that's our number two. And we've got a bit more time. So let's jump into ride number three. Let's have the dates and the details, etc.
So Ethers Traverse is the third and final race. It's August 16th, and it starts here in town. It's a point-to-point race, so it goes up Baldy Road, over Happy Gap, and down to the Priest Lake drainage. Mm-hmm. And then we turn north and then head up the backside of Schweitzer, up state roads, gravel roads. It's entirely gravel. There's maybe
the first
3% paved surface, and then it finishes at the Sky House at on Schweitzer Mountain, and then the riders take the chairlift down with their bikes to the village where we have the after party there with food by Schweitzer and drink and awards, and then that's our last race where we do the final podium for the series results. So
wow. Well, what a fun adventure that would be.
Yeah.
How many total miles and how much elevation is that one?
That event is 35 miles, and your total elevation for that is 6,300 feet of elevation gain. So
it's like nothing after you've done the
it's short, but it's all climbing.
It's short and grunty. But you get tricked. I'd say the first 20 miles, 15 to 20 miles of the event, you're like, oh my gosh, I can do this. I'm flying. And then you start climbing that backside of Schweitzer up to, you know, the Selkirk Crest. And
then it gets
you. Prove yourself.
Oh, boy. There's a little bit of walking maybe as well.
And that climb, those roads are really beautiful and well-maintained. The state, Idaho Department of Land roads. But as you climb, the road gets steeper and steeper and rockier and rockier until the...
I think what's nice about that, though, as it does get steeper and rockier, is that there's actually quite a bit of shade back there. Mm-hmm. You know, there's like just...
You're following the middle fork of the East River all the way up.
Yeah. So, you know, it is August 16th, which you're probably thinking, oh my gosh.
Right?
Yeah. But there's quite a bit of shade as you're climbing up that. There's definitely exposed areas as well. Mm-hmm. But I was surprised.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And will there be a hydration station on that ride?
There will. We've got one.
And that will be KRFY and Ponderay Pedalers. I think we'll do that together, right? I think
that's sure. And where out. Is it? Because I'm on that one.
Thanks, so Susie.
There's, without a map, it's kind of hard to tell you, but as just before we really start to climb up the backside of Schweitzer, there's a snowmobile park before we turn onto the middle fork.
Is that on East River Road still, or no? We've already,
yeah, I think yeah, it's on I East think, River Road yes. just before we make that right onto the middle fork East yes. River Road or whatever that's called.
All right. Well, we'll figure it out, Susie. Yeah. Sure. You'll be in the right place on the right day.
You can help, Julie.
All right. That We'd love sounds it. Good. Yeah. We'll get those logistics done. And do you expect a similar turnout for this race?
I expect it to be, well, I don't, this is the first year for this one, so we don't know, but. It's going to be somewhere between Monarch Grind and three-quarter minus in terms of signups, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Susie, did you want to jump in with something?
No, it's just very exciting, and we are happy to be sponsors or of this series, the Panhandle Gravel series. It's panhandlegravel.com to find out more, and we really appreciate being recipients of proceeds. So thank you so much for that.
Speaking of sponsors, we do have quite a few local sponsors. Matchwood, of course, hosts our start and finish and the after party for the three-quarter minus. These are three-quarter minus sponsors. Ponderay Winery always gives us custom-labeled wine bottles for awards for the first-place finishers. Kinnexu Land Trust manages one of the aid stations along with Outdoor Experience. They manage one. KRFY will manage one. and let's see, the Alpine Shop supports us with prizes for the podium. Ponderay Pedalers also does an aid station, and they also help with a lot of the logistics of the race with vehicle support and that sort of thing, flaggers and all kinds of stuff. Ace Septic, free porta potties all around. Every year they give us free porta potties, which is huge.
That's very
it
nice.
Is huge. Yeah. It is huge. Yeah,
for all three races, they do it, which is pretty amazing.
Cyclists heavily appreciate that.
Who did I miss? Did I miss anyone?
How about Evans Brothers? Are they
Evans Brothers? Yes, coffee. Evans Brothers gives us coffee and as well, and prizes for the podium as well. Yeah. And then we have some industry sponsors. Hammer Nutrition gives all the nutrition at packets, the aid stations right? and packets mm-hmm. for the swag bags for the riders. Salsa Cycles, Continental Tires, Castelli is they do cycling apparel.
So
they support us with Shimano. So
it's a large list. You've got lots of support, lots of sponsors. Yeah. Like it. I wanted to ask you, in this time of more and more bicycling happening, Sandpoint seems to really be drawing a lot of interesting cycling events, and it must be growing the number of cyclists and maybe, I don't know, business at your shop, but I got to think there must be more and more cyclists in this area.
Yeah, I think so. And, I think, and the Ponderay Pedalers have been a pretty huge part of that with all the trail building that they've been doing and all the programs that they do. Yep. You were mentioning like instruction earlier. They do kids programs in the summer for you know, learning how to mountain bike. They do clinics for adults.
That's one I would think you'd have to have a bit of technique training. You don't want to just go and go head over heels the second you start.
I'd say it depends on, the type of terrain for sure. But as you get more and more advanced, it's always good to have some training.
Yes.
Just confidence booster. But yeah, you know, gravel cycling is the fastest growing discipline in the world.
Did not.
Which is quite, And I think last year I said this fun fact, but there are more than 2 million miles of gravel roads across the U.S.
Wow.
So.
And I wonder, when folks come into the shop, Sammy and Charles, do they ever say we've moved to this area because of the biking opportunities? Is that something you hear? Or?
Well, I feel like I moved to this area because of the opportunities, like biking specifically. I wanted some snow at Schweitzer, and Pine Street Woods was a huge draw for me personally to move here a couple of years ago. And then that just evolved into how great the community is. But I'd say, well, more of our gravel roads are becoming paved, which is quite sad.
It's inevitable.
We want them to stay gravel.
It does happen.
Every year there's a little more pavement on the 3/4 minus routes.
Yeah, we shed a tear.
Not on the other two, though.
No, definitely not on the other two.
I don't think those will ever be paved.
No.
All right. Well, we're coming to an end of this really fun chat here at KRFY and being joined by you, Sammy Berryman, and Charles Mortensen. And just wondering if you might like to have a last bit to say about why people might want to, if they're not already gravel grinders, why they might want to consider this new and growing sport.
Well, I think it's gravel's a super accessible discipline to enter into. I think it's one of the more welcoming types of cycling that people come into. You know, we've got the hardcore people that are involved. We've got the quirky tandemers. We've got just the people that are wanting to get out for an adventure. So I think that's probably the beauty of gravel cycling, is that I think at the base of it is people just wanting to go be in the outdoors and have a bit of adventure. And that could be any distance, depending on how comfortable you are out there.
Yeah, nicely put.
Thanks.
Charles, anything to add?
I would just add to what Sammy said, that gravel bikes are really the most versatile, I think, because you can just leave from, you know, usually if you go mountain biking, typically people will put their bike on a car and take it to a trail, and then ride, and then put their bike back on. With a gravel bike, you can just go out your door, start on pavement. You could go on single track trails. You could go on gravel roads. You can ride anywhere. It's kind of an explorer's discipline.
Is it making you feel like getting your first gravel bike, Susie?
I only wish. Yeah, that'd be really fun. It is a lot of fun just watching the riders and stuff. So
yeah,
you're right. It's accessible to just about anyone.
That's great. Susie had a little question that I missed at the beginning, and we'll finish with that question, and then we're going to go off with a song.
Well, I think I've had you on before about this, but 3/4 cyclic turn. What is 3/4?
So it's 3/4 minus is the gravel that's used on roadbeds. So it's basically pieces of rock that are 3/4 inch and smaller. That's what they use that's what your typical gravel road will look like. And it's what they use as the base under paved roads. So that's where 3/4 minus comes from. And cycletur is Danish for bike tour, essentially.
And
Jason Meshberg came up with that name, which is pretty clever, I thought.
Very clever, definitely.
Yeah, it's thought provoking. All right, well, folks, I hope you enjoyed our interview this morning with Charles Mortensen and Sammy Berryman from Syringa Cyclery, co-organizers of 3 really exciting bike races or bike tours, however you would like to do them this summer. I hope you'll jump on. What is the website, guys?
PanhandleGravel.com.
Okay, you'll jump on to PanhandleGravel.com and take a look, and maybe you'll be like me and get inspired to do a little bit of training.